Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome into the latest Behind the Bets podcast. After a week off, we had two, and then we had a week off. And so we're doing this on Tuesday, April 23rd. The NFL draft is 2 days away. Obviously, tons of NFL fans out there, a lot of buildup. So John Murray's coming up. We're going to talk about that. I have some picks on the draft and also NBA playoffs. We're going to discuss that, and I have some good plays there. So that's coming up. Kai, how are you, my man?
Good, man. Good to be back.
Yeah, good to see you back in the chair.
BTB, baby.
Did you have another kid I need to put through college?
Not yet.
Another baby bankroll bonanza?
You know what? I should have been on my game, and I should have been having that prepared, so by the time September comes, I'll be ready again.
Come on. But yeah, it's something you can't really rush now, can you?
You'll be the first to know.
Okay. Well, sure. Thank you. I appreciate that. By the way, have you got any pedicures lately?
I have not, but, you know, I'm not against it at all.
Okay. Yeah, you gotta get that in, man.
Take care of your feet. So
those listeners out there, keep sending in those pedicure photos. I will mail out T-shirts for you, and I'll DM you and get your mailing address and all that fun stuff. So appreciate the loyalty and getting in on the fun for the free T-shirt. And Kai, the show's going pretty well. I'm sure you're a loyal viewer of that, but we've been giving out some winners there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I love it. Every 6 o'clock, ESPN
yes.
News.
6 to 7 Eastern, Monday through Friday, ESPN News and the ESPN app. A lot of you have asked whether there's a podcast. There's not, but you can go to the app and watch the archive show. So,
right. And you got
you
behind
can turn
the
that
bets,
into a
so
podcast. Yeah, we have this.
Plenty of content.
We have this podcast. So, speaking of which, coming up, John Murray, moments away. We're going to talk NBA playoffs at the back end. Some series wrapping up tonight in theory. Then we're looking ahead. I think the series prices are really low on both the Bucks and the Raptors. We'll get into that and look ahead to Warriors Rockets as well and have some fun travel tips at the back end. So a lot of good stuff and a lot of silly stuff coming up straight ahead.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Kicking is for losers.
Yes, it is, as we welcome in the one and only John Murray. How are you, my man?
Doing good, man. It's good to actually be in the office. Spent a lot of time on the road lately, but today I'm just in the office, sitting at my desk, watching television.
Big news to announce or anything like that?
We're getting closer. Okay. I was in New Jersey, New York last week with Jay Cornegay, the Superbook USA team, and we're very close there.
Good. Okay, so let's talk NFL draft before we get to the other sports in the playoffs. Just that's the power of the NFL. The offseason draft matters more than the playoffs of other sports. Not to me, and I have a lot of plays I like, but we'll get to that in a moment. I want to read you a quote from my recap last year. Recapping how the books lost money in the 2018 NFL draft. Okay?
Please.
I thought there was no way a team with a 37-year-old quarterback would be dumb enough to draft a running back. I don't understand why these guys do what they do. I guess that's why they get fired all the time.
Wow, that's a strong quote. Who gave you that one?
Ed Sammons.
It sounds like me, too. Me and Ed. Ed and I yesterday he and I did the props, and one thing I kept saying to him over and over again was, don't ever underestimate how stupid these teams are, Ed. I was like, he kept saying, like, oh, there's no way they would do X, Y, and Z. I'm like, dude, these teams are so dumb. They might. They might do it.
Well, it's just the unknown, right? It's the giant unknown. So before we get into plays, and I've already fired, but I want to just, how do you go about this knowing? I mean, we had McShay talking yesterday. We had Mel Kiper on the show yesterday, just how, and even he was like, look, so much is going to change between now and Thursday. Yeah. Knowing that, like, how do you approach these lines, And are you just monitoring Twitter like no other?
Well, I think the number one thing we did differently this year versus last year was we waited until yesterday to put these up, hoping that the market was a little bit more settled. I mean, I agree with McShay. A lot's going to change between now and Thursday. But, you know, last year we did it a few weeks before the draft. And that was just simply too soon. I mean, we've got a lot of other sports we're monitoring, too, here. It's not like the NFL draft is the only thing on our plate. It's hard for us to constantly be refreshing Twitter for every little draft rumor that comes across.
What are you looking at in terms of limits?
$1,000 over-the-counter is our limit on the NFL draft. And we've mostly taken, mostly so far, we've seen guys betting us numbers that we have versus other books in Nevada. Like, a lot of guys are betting us under, I think it's 13.5 on Dwayne Haskins. Some of the other books in town have a much lower number on him, like 6.5 around town.
Yeah, that was my first question, was going to be Haskins. That seemed to be the most disparity. I saw 6.5, it moved up to 7.5 at some spots, and I see you at 13.5. Where would you, like, what's the process there on that?
Just some of the stuff we've been reading is that Haskins is falling in the draft, but that doesn't mean that some team won't reach up and grab him. I mean, I actually was clicking through some mock drafts yesterday. I saw one that had the Redskins trading their first rounder next year, and I think their 2 this year to move up to number 3 to take Haskins in a trade with the Jets. Actually, I clicked out of that mock draft as soon as I read that because I thought it was so stupid. But you never know. It's the NFL. I won't completely rule it out.
And even more so, in the last couple of years, we've seen bigger curveballs. Look, I believe as of Tuesday morning a year ago, Baker Mayfield was not even on the radar. It was Sam Darnold was the number one pick.
Yeah. No, it definitely
Tuesday
was. It was
when
Sam
he made
Darnold.
The move. Right.
And yeah, then, it was Tuesday or maybe Wednesday. It could have been as late as Wednesday that the Mayfield story came out. Yeah, no, it was definitely Darnold. You're right.
And even the year before that, or 2 years before that, I forget my timeline, but Trubisky, John Fox didn't even know they were going to take him. And they traded up for that. And then you saw the trades up for Mahomes and Watson, right?
Yeah. The quarterback is more valuable now than ever before. So these teams are aggressive about trading up to get a guy that they identify as their future franchise QB. But I think, and I want Kai to cut this quote out so that when one of them ends up being good, he can play it over and over again and make fun of me this fall. But I think all the quarterbacks in this draft stink.
Wow.
I don't think there's a franchise QB in the bunch. Now, the law of averages, one of these guys is going to be good and make me look like an idiot, which is fine. A nice freezing cold take. But as we sit here now, I think these guys all stink. And I think 3 or 4 of the guys that were drafted in the first round last year would all be the first overall pick this year because the quarterbacks are so bad in this draft. Certainly Mayfield and Darnold would be. I think Allen probably would be too. Lamar Jackson had a good rookie year. I think that this quarterback class is awful.
Would you endorse Saquon Barkley, number 1 overall this year?
No, I would not endorse Saquon. He's a running back, for Christ's sake. No, I would not endorse Saquon Barkley.
It is interesting. I think we were talking about this in the pod, just like not the podcast, but the little work area we have. And we actually went through, there's not that many Hall of Fame quarterbacks. We went through the Hall of Fame, and of all those, not many were in the first round.
In the modern era,
there were like 20 Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Now, there's more on their way, like Peyton Manning, Brady.
Yeah,
Big Ben, all those guys, yeah.
Drew Brees was a second-round pick, I think, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's the first pick of the second round, I believe.
I would have to think that Phillip Rivers and Ben Roethlisberger will be in the Hall of Fame someday, and I don't know if Kai has an opinion on it, but maybe Eli Manning will be in the Hall of Fame someday.
Elite Manning, yeah. He
I think Patrick Mahomes is going to be in the Hall of Fame one day, but I might be getting ahead of myself because the kid's like 22 years old.
So interesting prop. Good. You mentioned all these quarterbacks are not your cup of tea, so to speak. So the prop that's been getting hammered, and I'm already on the over, is 3.5 QBs in the first round. Now, you don't offer it, but you know other places do. You'd have to go over, right?
Yeah, I've seen that one around town. I don't know. I mean, are you really think it's a guarantee that all 4 of those guys stick in the first round? I mean, I think
we could see 5.
Probably. I think that'll probably. Oh, you think it'll be 5? Who's the 5th one?
See, I think Will Grier. I think there's a chance.
Oh, Will Grier.
So your over under is what, 32.5?
That's my guy. We have a Will Grier at 37.5 right now.
And a half.
We only listed Will Grier because I went to WVU. That was a nod to myself. 37.5, but it's actually been bet up to over -170. here. So we've had people here betting us that he will go higher than that.
Yeah, I would bet under. I think these teams have fascinations with quarterbacks that they trade up. I mean, we just talked about it. Even Watson and Mahomes. Now, they were, I believe, projected first round, but teams weren't. No one's. You're telling me if you need a quarterback, you think he's the guy you're going to care about adding a fourth rounder here and there?
No, not for a quarterback. For a quarterback, if you think you've got the right guy at QB, you just do what it takes to get him, I think. I think that's clear. But I don't know that all four of those guys are locks to go in the first round. I mean, I know last year a lot of people were betting over on the quarterbacks, and I think Lamar Jackson
correct
ended up being the 32nd pick.
Yeah, I just sweat that one out. I'm not going to lie.
Like, just barely got in there. So I don't know. Usually teams at the back end of the draft are pretty set at quarterback, although you will sometimes see teams at the beginning of the second round move up into the first round to take one. But I don't know. I think this quarterback class is really weak. I think last year's class was just considerably better. And I don't think much of the QBs this year. I mean, I don't – Kyler Murray, I still am not sold on him as an NFL quarterback.
So it doesn't look like you guys have the prop of will he go number one.
Yeah, we closed that down yesterday. That was Ed's decision yesterday morning before we opened. He said he'd been reading some stuff that Murray might not go number one now. And we had that open for about 6 weeks. I think people had plenty of time to bet that one. And we knew we were offering these new this new menu of props on Monday. So
you don't have any inside information there, given he's your relative?
No, distant cousin. No, I don't have I got nothing inside there. I don't know. I've read some things. I've seen some quotes from some anonymous scouts that basically refer to him as a baseball player. Let's just say that. So I won't say who I got that from. But
well, okay. So here's the thing. You have to lay $6. I would not lay it. $5.90 some places. I would not lay it. Even though there are just safer bets out there at -600. Right. I mean, if you're gonna go lay $600 on a game or on a situation, why not just do it on a game?
I think you'd be better off laying like an NBA favorite series price or a boxing favorite. Boxing favorites seemingly never lose. I don't think you'd want to do a -$6 on Kyler Murray to be the first pick in the draft. I agree with you.
Right. So, like, I'd rather lay. You guys are offering $900 on the Raptors tonight.
Yeah.
Money line. I think that's a
no confidence in Orlando. Huh?
I think game one was a fluke. Like, I just think that's a safer. Because of all the misinformation and smoke screens. Because, for example, like there's reports that like the Cardinals will keep both guys, both quarterbacks. Like, there's no way that can happen.
No,
don't underestimate the stupidity of. But there's no way you can do this guy dirty like they did Rosen. Have all these reports and then expect him to be a human, like have him in your locker room, like with another quarterback competing for the job. Like, I just don't see how that's a healthy situation.
Don't you think people are writing off Josh Rosen pretty quickly? I mean, it's not like he was in a really good position to succeed last year. That Arizona team was a complete train wreck from day one, and I don't think it was his fault. I don't know. I didn't really watch him much last year, frankly, but I do know that it's hard for a rookie quarterback to look good in a terrible, terrible situation, and that's what he was in Arizona.
I agree. I was big on Rosen coming out of college. I thought he was the best quarterback. Now, I'm not there at workouts. I'm not there at Wunderlich scores. I'm not there at interviews. But from afar, I liked him the most, so I have a rooting interest because I like to be right. But I agree with you in that I don't think there was enough out there to just dismiss him, especially when Kyler Murray. I mean, look, size has not become an issue with Russell Wilson emerging and Drew Brees playing so well. I think teams are obviously more interested in the Kyler Murray thing. I think a team would trade up for that spot. So even if the Cardinals don't want him, I think they could trade down to 2 or 3 and get Bosa or whatever, right? So anyways, that's like where I am at that. So I'm surprised you guys have 13.5 for Drew Locke. That's an interesting one. So you have Haskins at 13.5, right? And also Locke.
Yeah, both of them are at 13.
I would take – so the big thing is the Broncos, right? That's the team that supposedly loves him.
Yeah, I mean, when you're looking at these numbers, you're looking at which teams are you projecting might take a quarterback. So you've got to look at like which teams need a QB, and Miami is picking 13th. They need a QB.
They're not. What I'm hearing, they're not taking a QB.
Oh, and that's very possible. It's just that's kind of how we structure around. Like, we don't just come to that number 13 randomly.
No, I'm not attacking you. I'm just like talking.
Okay with being attacked. No, you're not attacking me. Ed Sammons is our head NFL player.
You get enough of it at work.
He's an NFL connoisseur, so he would be the one you'd be attacking.
Well, he's a connoisseur of the NFL and a carnivore of you, Murray. So you got to be careful. The Broncos.
He's going to listen to this podcast. So we do need to be careful.
Well, yeah. So the Broncos at 10 are the big sort of everything we read and everything I hear is that Drew Locke is the apple of John Elway's eye, if that's the right analogy.
How many?
Kai, can we get a confirmation on that? Is that the appropriate expression?
The apple. Yes.
Apple.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Good. Apple, all right. Yeah. Well, there you go.
How many times is John Elway going to strike out on a QB?
I know, right?
Is he going to go down this road again?
We should do a prop bet on number of times he strikes out at quarterback or Michael Jordan strikes out in the draft.
Well, Michael Jordan's problem is he just drafts the big college star. He does it every time.
And Kwame Brown.
And Kwame Brown. That's true. I forgot about that one.
Number
that
one so overall.
Ago. That was not a great pick. That was a bad draft, though, if you remember back to that. I think that the Grizzlies took Pau Gasol third. He was like the only really good player out of that top group, I think, because it was like Tyson Chandler, Eddie Curry. It was a tough one.
You've named three guys I'd rather have instead of Kwame Brown.
Yeah, I think Shane Battier was the sixth pick. MJ struck out on Kwame Brown. Like, come on, let's be honest.
That's their job is to nail these picks.
Well, yeah, I really like the Broncos this year. I've been telling some people around town how much I like Denver, just because anytime you get rid of a really terrible coach, the whole team just gets so much better. The whole culture changes. We saw it last year in Indianapolis with them getting rid of Chuck Pagano, and we saw it a couple years ago with L.A. getting rid of Jeff Fisher. And I think we're going to see it in Denver. I think we're going to see it in Green Bay. And I think we're going to see it in Tampa Bay this season, where they got rid of really bad coaches, bringing in some fresh blood. I like the Broncos. I hope they don't take a quarterback, because I'll like them a lot less if they do take Drew Locke. If they take another player that could help them this season, that would certainly make me like them that much more.
Yep, don't disagree. We've seen, especially in the NFL, we've seen so many worst to first. So I'm okay there with that prediction. So there's a lot of, tight end, TJ Hockenson out of Iowa, 9.5 seems pretty high. I would take over there plus 110.
Yeah, and that's a player that Ed and myself really like that guy a lot. We think that guy's going to be a super NFL player. But, you know, what's kind of interesting about that one, though, is of all the props we put up, all the over-under player props, I should say, we've got the fewest bets on that TJ Hockenson one. Nobody seems to want to bet us on that one at all. We've got almost no money on that whatsoever, whereas all the other over-under ones, we've got a pretty decent amount of handle right now.
That's interesting. I would take over there. I think I know the mocks and all that. I'll believe when I see a tight end go that high and all these other teams like we talked about. You just said that some team's going to trade up for a quarterback. Like, I just feel there's a lot of moving parts and all these potential scenarios. It's more likely that teams trade up to not take Hockenson.
Where do you stand on DK Metcalf of Ole Miss? What do you think of that
young guy? What's funny is wide receiver's been really weird the last couple years, right? There's been, I think that's probably been the weakest success rate, I think, of all the prognosticators. Is that fair?
I think that's fair, and we view him as sort of a workout warrior who's
right.
Not really.
So you have him at 25.5. You have him at 25.5.
Right? And we've taken a lot of under bets, and that has been intentional on our part, on part of myself and of Ed. We kind of want to need him over, and right now we do need him over for a small decision. It just, from what I've read, kind of a workout warrior, can't run a route to save his life. I'd be a little surprised if somebody jumped on him that early.
Yeah, it's just so funny. The reason I think it's been the weakest success rate is because that I feel every team is so different in what they like. Whereas in other situations, other positions, there's a sort of checklist of what they like. But with wide receiver, you can get the small, fast guy, the big possession. It's just so different. And everyone has their own appetite. And that's why we see guys who were projected to be like the third wide receiver off the board go the first wide receiver off the board. And that's what makes the wide receiver. I think there's value on a lot of these long shots, so to speak, when you can get those props.
I think Metcalf is the perfect example of what we were talking about earlier, about putting these props up later, closer to the draft. If we'd done this a few weeks ago, Metcalf would have had a much lower number than this because he was all the rage after the combine. Everybody was talking about him as this like physical freak with a great size, and everybody had him going higher. And now the more mock drafts I look at, he's slipping further and further down the board. So it's just a good lesson about putting these props up too early, which we certainly paid for last season.
Over-under for prop of wide receivers, you can get a lot of places, 2.5, shaded to the over. I still would say under, but I think that's a hard pass for me.
The receiver I really like is the kid from Arizona State. What's his name? Harry?
Yes, could be
Henry.
Yeah, someone like that.
I like that guy a lot, man. That guy, I think he's really good. I like the kid from Iowa State, too, Hakeem Butler. We listed him in a prop, who will go first between him and Riley Ridley of Georgia, just because I like Butler a lot.
Yeah, I think I got my wide receivers mixed up. You saved the day there, so nice job on that. It gets really tough. I mean, obviously these odds are, for my liking, I'd rather lay bigger juice on safer plays because of the unknowns. I mean, if you compare the mock drafts from previous years to what actually happened, there's all these trades, everything, you just don't know. And it was never my strength in the industry, even when I was working in Vegas. And, I mean, I broke a couple stories, or at least were part of the breaking of UNLV coach hiring or whatnot. But it was not something I was good at because it was such a, I don't know, shifty kind of shady interaction where you had to be scoop this, scoop that, share information. And yeah, it was a lot of currency of information going back and forth. It's really tough. And then people change their mind, right? So you can have a lot of intentional smokescreen stuff to drive up the price, and then you have other things. So it's just really complicated. So the stuff that I feel most confident, I'd rather lay a bigger number.
Well, it's very complicated. I mean, you look at the Raiders. I read that they sent home all their scouts because they didn't want any of their plans to leak. I mean, if that doesn't prove to you just how precious this information is, I don't think anything will.
Or is dysfunctional the Raiders are?
Well, that's also very possible. I mean, the Raiders, that's a team. I don't like them at all this year. I don't think that I'm going out on a limb there, but I can't get a handle on what they're doing. I thought that they were correctly, to an extent, rebuilding by trading for all those draft choices, and then they go out in the off season and they spend all this money in free agency on older players. I don't know what the heck they're doing.
Well, it's just the nature of John Gruden. He's going to like the next shiny thing.
Yeah, well, that's just not.
There's no
not
long
usually
game
a good
there.
Way to. Well, that's kind of the Redskins' problem too, and has been for years. Is they don't have a plan. They don't have a plan of like, here's our 3-year plan. Here's our 5-year plan. They just fly by the seat of their pants. That's why it wouldn't surprise me if they were dumb enough to draft a quarterback 15th. That wouldn't shock me. They might just simply go, oh, we need a quarterback. Who's the next best quarterback? We'll take him. I mean, they're that stupid. They could do that.
Interesting. All right, my man. So any other sharp action you've taken that's not just middlers or whatever?
I mean, that's mostly what we're getting is guys just middling us. We did take a few bets on over 13.5, Christian Wilkins. Now, he's the really disruptive DT from Clemson, had a great national championship game. And we took a number of bets on Rashawn Gary over 11.5. We actually decided to close that one this morning, not because of the betting, but just because of some of the stuff we were reading on Twitter about he's got a torn labrum or he had right. A torn labrum. But I read another guy on Twitter speculating that might be a smokescreen that a team is sending out to scare other teams off so that they can take Rashawn Gary.
I mean, isn't that crazy?
Right. So, and he was certainly a very effective college player at Michigan. He was a very, very highly touted high school recruit. You know, so the pedigree is there for this guy to be a stud player in the NFL. So, would it shock me if somebody took him in the top 10? No, not at all.
I'm hearing the Giants go defense, so I would not do one of those props. I would take there's some odds you can get a linebacker for the Giants at 12-1. I think I saw.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really sharp. Look, here's the thing. Give me a 12-1 equivalent in sports, right? So that's like the Clippers to win outright tonight.
Yeah.
That line is not going to move to like 6-1 or 5-1 by tip-off, right?
I doubt it. If it did, I'd be happy to make a bet on it.
Right. So basically what you're saying, that would be like if both Durant and Curry were ruled out.
Right. Yeah, we
but
have 11
there's
to
so much volatility in these prop, the juice, and the numbers, that locking in some 12-1 could be like 5-1 by draft day.
Yeah.
Because the limits are so low and there's so much movement and information. So I think there's but you're not going to get that anywhere else on the board. That's just something for our listeners to keep in mind.
I've seen the draft offerings in New Jersey. All I have to say is be careful to those bookies out there.
What do you mean?
Because, well, this is not an easy thing to book. I've seen how much stuff they put up. I wouldn't be surprised if they learn a similar lesson to the one that we learned the last couple of years.
Gotcha.
It's just a market that's 99.9% wise guy. I mean, there's just no public money in this stuff.
And it's fluid. And it's fluid. So bettors out there listening, you guys can get good value on stuff because it's going to move. And like you said, it's not like it's a boxing dog or whatever where there's just no upsets.
No.
And the volatility, the fluidity, I guess, is a better word. So I like it. Other plays, my man? Any other sharp plays?
Not really. I mean, that's about all. We touched on Gary. We touched on Wilkins. There's really not much. I mean, we had a number of people bet under 34.5 on Josh Jacobs. Now, he's the Alabama running back. And actually, ESPN's Ben Fox texted me yesterday afternoon, said he wished that he could bet that here. And I said, hey, we're open, Ben. Just hop on a plane. Come on out here.
Gas up the bird and fly out.
But, no, I mean, I get it. And I know he's been linked to the Raiders with two picks at the back end of the first round. But this is just me and Ed dying on that hill again, that teams aren't dumb enough to take running backs. So hope we might lose on that one again, but we'll see.
Hopefully it won't be too fatal.
I do like the under there.
I think
it's all.
These
are all relatively small decisions. I should clarify
that.
None of these decisions are going to make or break our month.
All right, that's going to do it for the NFL portion of the podcast. We'll talk NBA playoffs in a moment. But first, if you guys are looking for the best UFC content out there, check out my buddy Ariel Helwani. He does a podcast every Monday and Wednesday with the best fighters, trainers, and writers. So check him out by searching Ariel Helwani wherever you listen to your podcast. It's a good it's great content, good listen. Go check it out. All right, man, let's switch gears to the NBA. Greatest time of year. I don't know where to start. So let's start with the first round.
Mm-hmm.
There's only the point spread has only mattered in two games so far.
Yeah, that is interesting, huh?
There's only two times has the underdog covered without winning outright. Okay? Sure. So that was last Friday, Toronto and Orlando. Toronto could not get the rebounds. So Orlando got three shots down five and expired the clock at five, and they covered 5.5. And then Sunday, the Clippers covered 9.5.
Yeah.
When it was 11, they gave up a layup, and then offensive foul on Steph when they were trying to foul him at 8. And it could have gone to 10 if he made both. And so that's the only two times that the underdog is covered with. Now, the underdogs have covered when they've won outright.
Sure.
But that means we are at 32 playoff games and 30 of which the underdog covered without winning outright. By comparison, last year, 25% of the games, 20 of 80, that the underdog covered without winning outright.
What are your takeaways from the first round so far? I mean, I think I've seen some people complaining about some of the games, but to me, the table is set for the exact matchups we've been wanting to see all year. Like, we've always known those four teams in the East were, after Victor Oladipo got hurt especially, we knew we were going to have those four teams probably playing each other in the conference semifinals in the East, and I think those matchups are going to be great. And then certainly Golden State-Houston in the West should be a great series as well.
Yeah, I'm glad no one's screwing it up. I mean, you know, like, I'm glad the Nets didn't screw it up by winning.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I didn't want them. Like, I mean, look, I like them. I thought this. I took them plus 2.5 games in a prop, and I'm annoyed they didn't win one of the two at home. And they got jawed by the officials. And I don't blame Sean Marks, That's a great story, just going into the locker room. Hey guys, like anything's gonna happen. Like, you can change the outcome. But I just feel like Tommy Boy trying to go check his grade. Guys, excuse me, gotta check out my grade here. I can just see Sean Marks doing that, trying to get to the referee locker room. But I don't want them. I just want them. I just didn't want to screw up. So now. And but also people complaining about blowouts. Like, I don't get it. Like, those are great betting opportunities. Like, Warriors fourth quarter unders, great betting opportunity.
I enjoyed Brooklyn +3 on Saturday. That was a horrendous beat. I think Philadelphia ended up winning by 4 in that game, if I remember correctly. That was a tough one.
Oh, yeah.
I watched the Golden State-LA game on Sunday afternoon. I watched some of that game. I didn't see the Jazz Rockets game where Harden missed his first 15 shots. I just read about it, but that's spectacular. I read he went 3 for 20. I mean, that's like Michael Jordan in the late 90s, those Bulls finals teams when he would go like 6 for 20, but they'd put him on the free throw line 20 times, so he'd end up with like 25 points anyway. That's impressive stuff.
Well, it's interesting in that. He was like dishing a lot, right? A lot of it was passing, and then I don't know. It was fascinating to watch him miss so many.
Well, that doesn't inspire a lot of confidence in the Rockets, considering that they're playing Golden State in the next round. If Harden's going to miss his first 15 shots in a game, that's not very good.
Well, I saw you guys came out pretty high. I was a little disappointed. I wanted it to be lower so I can jump on the Warriors.
Yeah, we opened at 360, and then we ended up going bumping it up to $4 this morning. And I think it's going to be a case where the public is going to probably look to back Houston on the series price, I should say. But I certainly expect Golden State to flip that switch they have and advance to the next round.
Well, a couple things, and then I agree. One is they have home court this year. They did not have it last year.
True.
Number two, I think Bogut is much better than people realize, and I'm glad anyone got hurt. I just wish Boogie was there, like coming off the bench with the second unit. I think he would have been more effective. But when he's on offense and he kind of disrupts their vibe because they feel like they have to keep him happy by getting him those looks, whereas Boogie doesn't need that attention, if you will, and they can just let their three best shooters do it and Boogie just, you know, eats passes, eats rebounds, and plays D and rim protects. So Boogie's much better for them than Boogie. So it actually worked out well. And we'll see about the Rockets. Capella's been battling an illness. I think that's one of the reasons why they were off. I think, look, Jazz are frisky. They're not going to roll over. Good win. I think the Rockets take care of business in 5.
I expected a little bit more from the Jazz in the series, but I know that
I did not.
They don't match up well with Houston.
Hold on. I'm so sick of hearing that, my man. Like, everyone's tough matchup. It's a tough. Dude, the Jazz just aren't that good. How about they're just not that great? How about they're a playoff team with quality players, and they're not a first-round winning team?
Well, what they needed to do was intentionally lose at the end so that they wouldn't play Houston in the first round.
Okay, would they rather play the Warriors?
Well, no, of course not.
Who would they beat?
I think that they would have a better chance against Denver or Portland than they do against Houston. Absolutely.
Probably, no, but that doesn't mean they're going to win.
Probably.
Like,
They don't
have good
shooters.
You don't
think they'd have a better chance against Portland than they do against Houston?
Of course they do. No, of course they do, but I'm saying,
that's all I'm saying.
Like, okay, they have a better chance. But everyone's like, oh, bad matchup. Yeah, but they got their ass kicked. So, like, my point is,
I don't know if they got their ass kicked. They should have won game 3 and they'd be 2-2 right now.
Hold on. You've been following sports a long time. You cannot use that if they won game 3, then the game 4 would have played out the same way. You know that. You know half the
That's
reason.
True.
Like, teams, like, Damian Lillard got interviewed after the game 2 win at home. He said, we got to go to OKC and get one. Like, they have that mindset. Now, give the Jazz credit. They played great, made shots, whatever. And it could have been 2-2, but it's not a woulda, coulda, shoulda. Like, they got blown out in first two games because they don't have quality shooters. Right,
like, I mean, I agree with you.
Like, Rubio's not
could have been different.
They've missed the most open shots of any team in the playoffs going into Game 4. At least I don't know what the updated stats are, but
that is for them to lose when James Harden misses his first 15 shots is ridiculous. I'll agree with you on that. I'm just saying that the Jazz could have advanced out of this bracket out of this round if they'd been on the other side of the bracket. That's all I'm saying. And I don't think that's...
Yeah, it would have been a closer. And I also just think they are a player away from being like a better team, like being like a second round team. I don't think...
No, I was watching,
I would take Portland and I would take Denver against them.
I'm just saying the Sirius price wouldn't have been as high as Houston's Sirius price, which
fact.
Is a fact.
Fact.
But, you know...
But it was only $4. It wasn't that...
Wasn't that high. You know, I'm watching the Blazers play the Thunder the other night. It's too bad that Durant couldn't have gone to the Blazers instead of the Warriors. I mean, I don't know if the salary numbers would have worked, but I think he still could have won championships in Portland playing with Lillard and McCollum, and he wouldn't be considered this, like, giant... I don't want to use the word I'm thinking, but, you know, Durant joining the Warriors is just the most gutless move in the history of professional sports, in my opinion. And he could have had a very good chance of winning titles playing with that backcourt in Portland the same way he's doing it playing with that backcourt in Golden State. I don't know that the salary numbers would have worked, but it's kind of a what-if to me. I think that would have been cool to see because Lillard is just such a great player, and C.J. McCollum is also a very good player.
Do you think the wrong team was favored in that series?
I do, actually. I to tell you the truth, I bet the Blazers as soon as the price came out. I didn't think that Oklahoma City deserved to be favored on the road in that series. To me, it was more of a pick'em type or Portland a small favorite. But certainly the game spreads are indicative of Oklahoma City being an even bigger favorite in the series price. Oklahoma City a huge favorite in the home games, and then a small dog tonight.
Well, that's what sort of made me wonder. So I made up my own series price, and like it took me like – I did it in 5 minutes. So just – I mean with, you know, with wiggle room. But I had Portland $1.30. And because I just love Portland. I love Damian Lillard. I joke that I have a crush on this team. And I was just like he's capable of being the best player in at least four games in the series, and he has been in the three wins. And if you see with the point spreads, like I think tonight the market is off. Like it opened 3. I'm all in on Portland tonight.
Yeah, I like Portland tonight as well. I just think that they're better than Oklahoma City.
Right.
Oklahoma City,
so as an odds maker,
poorly coached.
When do you punt on using Oak City while they were favored in the series? Like, when do you punt and realize, like, the lines are off from game to game?
Right when we opened it up, we had OKC -140 here, and a guy came up and wanted to bet $10,000 on the Thunder series price. So there's a perception out there that Oklahoma City is just that much better than Portland. I don't agree with it, but that's the kind of money we're seeing in the market here in this series. People are betting on the Thunder.
So as the series is unfolding and they're up 3-1, shouldn't the power ratings change where Portland doesn't open -3 at home?
I don't think 3 was the right number. We're up to 4 now, which I think is more appropriate. Yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying. I've been on the Blazers' side of this whole series, so I can't disagree with you at all.
I would actually, and I thought this yesterday, I'd actually rather lay 4 than 3. Because you know when a line stinks, you get really worried and paranoid. Like, I'm more comfortable laying 4 than 3. I don't feel like there's something
3,
I don't know.
I, I know what you're saying. What do you think of Denver-San Antonio? Because Denver was the one series price when we first opened them where we really saw some sharp money come in on the Nuggets. And then they went out and laid that egg in game one. Now it looks like at least they're favored again in the series.
So this goes back to our Utah conversation. I should have brought it up, so I'm glad we got there with Denver because I said this last week on the pod. So I feel both Utah and Denver have inflated home records from the regular season. I think some guy sent it to me. I need to reply to that tweet. Like the analytics showed it was like worth 1 to 2 more wins. I think it's worth more because in his defense, it was actually a great tweet. He said that doesn't take into account teams resting players and stuff like that. I just think there's an overall mindset of like a team like the Orlando Magic or an East Coast team going on the West Coast trip, having to play 5 teams, and that whether it's back-to-back or whatever, they just kind of mail it in a little bit. And I think there's an inflated home record for Denver and Utah, whereas in the postseason, it doesn't always translate. Go back. Nuggets have lost 4 straight first-round series, right? They've always had good home court home records, right? And anytime, well, now granted, they face playoff teams in the playoffs, and they face teams that are already relocated for the game. They're not traveling the night of, and things like that. So I just think we need to pump the brakes a little bit on how good these teams are come postseason when their home record has such an inflation to it. That's why I'm saying I don't think the Jazz are that great. And as for Denver, I just trust San Antonio players and shooters more.
Well, I trust Greg Popovich. I know that much. But to me, I really disliked San Antonio coming into the season. I don't like their roster at all. So it surprised me to see them go out and win game one in Denver. I mean, I still think Denver's going to get out of this series, but I give Greg Popovich just a ton of credit for getting his team to the postseason. I think they won like 48 or 49 games, and then having them in this position where if they can win this series, he could get them all the way back to a conference final because the two best teams in the conference are on the other side of the bracket.
I'm on San Antonio first quarter tonight. Pop was really upset on how they played in the last game. Now, whether that means they hit shots or not, but I like the Spurs to start strong.
Well, Denver was kind of making everything in game four
in
the second half.
And they're better. Quarter. Like, they're better on paper, like, over a sample size of 82 games. Like, they're, you know, they're threes and versus the long twos. I get it. I just trust those guys. I trust Patty Mills. I mean, I've been betting on that guy for freaking 10 years now. Like, I just trust these guys. Although Bertans, I think he finally hit a shot in game one, but he hadn't hit one in like 2 months before that. But, like, we'll see. Like, what Jamal Murray did and whatever, like, that's great. In the game two comeback. And they're better players, whether they win two more games.
Yeah,
we'll see. I want to talk about the next round, and you guys posted some series prices, even though we're not quite there yet. I think I'd have to come off the bench, maybe gas up the bird and come out there. Because there
That'd be awesome, man.
Really have caught my eye.
Don't come out this week, DK. I'm actually leaving town in the morning, and I'd like you to come out here when I'm in town. But continue.
Well, I appreciate it. I can't do it, and I have other options. Jersey's a lot closer, Murray.
True.
Your guys, I remember being on a text chain with Sherman and Ed a year ago. You guys are too high on Philly every year.
Oh, I know. I have an anecdote I was going to tell. I have the Sixers to win the East, and I was thinking about like how I would hedge it if they got to the conference finals, and I decided I don't need to hedge that bet because the joy I would get from making fun of Ed and blaming him for me losing my money is my hedge.
Okay.
I don't even care if I lose because I could make fun of Ed about it until like October when the next season started. So I'm fine either. I mean, I'd rather win the money, but I got that hedge in there of making fun of Ed about the Sixers.
You're well positioned.
I mean, exactly. I'm good either way. Just this morning, Jeff and myself were in a group text with Ed, and we were firing up. We were calling Joel Embiid a name that I can't repeat, of course, but because this guy like sits out playoff games apparently. But it's so funny that it's worth it to me to have the Sixers future ticket.
Interesting. Well, you guys have the Raptors minus 220. If they win tonight, regardless of action, will that just go up a little bit because they actually are into the next round? I guess the Sixers are not.
We don't. It doesn't really matter. I mean, if this matchup doesn't happen somehow.
Right, but it could go seven, and then that would affect, right? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, we close that price as soon as the first of those two teams tips off tonight. Just because things can definitely change. Guys could get dinged up. Perception could change. So you're not wrong.
220 is way cheap. I like this Sixers team. I like them. Let me rephrase it. I like them more this year than I did last year. Obviously, with Jimmy Butler, he gives them that edge they were lacking, and there's a lot more reliability there. But the Raptors team may be the best team in the NBA, frankly. I mean, they're not, but they're that good.
Well, they're not the best team in the NBA.
Right, the Warriors are. But like, they're that good. And we saw glimpses of these runs when Kawhi is Kawhi that haven't seen in a couple of postseasons, and they have depth. They have Siakam. I mean, Kyle Lowry's like their fourth best player.
I just think Toronto is a rat team, and you know that the sting of them losing that series last year to Cleveland it still lingers with us. How in the world did they manage to get swept by that ridiculously bad Cleveland team last year? I mean, that was embarrassing.
Yeah, LeBron. I mean, hold on. Let me go back. Okay, so we talk about these regular season sort of Warriors, right? Like some of these teams have been. Like how good were the Raptors last year, right? Like how good is DeMar DeRozan? He's a top 25 or 30 player, top 30.
He's not as good as Kawhi Leonard.
His net ratings are terrible. All his metrics are terrible. So if that's your best player and like Lowry, you know, like think about was the team just like a really good like regular season team?
Possibly. And Philadelphia, I think, really, in a lot of ways, they blew it last year because, you know, Boston didn't have Kyrie Irving or Gordon Hayward in that series. They were basically a bunch of kids. And Brad Stevens outfoxed Brett Brown at the end of all those close games. I think Boston won that series 4-1.
Yeah, they were up 3-0. I know that. I took a hit on game three, trust me.
And that really should have been Philadelphia's spot in the Eastern Finals. No offense to the Celtics. I give them a lot of credit, but they were missing two All-Star players. So Philadelphia really – so really it's the matchup of the two teams that totally choked last season. This really should have been the Eastern Conference Finals a year ago, although with very different rosters, no Kawhi Leonard, no Jimmy Butler, no Tobias Harris. I think these two teams are a little bit more evenly matched than you seem to think.
Yeah, no, I think they are. I think they're definitely – I think Toronto's that good, though. That's more what it is. It's a bet on Toronto. And Philly's pretty deep, man. They're starting five, although it's only played, like, what, 12 games together or whatever it is. And I think you factor in the unknown with Embiid. I think that feels low at 220. Feels low, although the Raptors do have trouble with game ones. So
The NBA, the rotations condense in the postseason – Philadelphia, you already said it, but Philadelphia's got a great starting five. I would trust them in some end-game scenarios here. If they have their starting five guys on the floor, I think that they've got a much better team than Toronto. Now, Toronto's deeper there. I'm only talking about when the five-on-five. I like Philadelphia's group more.
Right.
But I don't trust Brett Brown at all.
Well, that's the other thing. I don't think they're well coached. Now, verdict's still out on Nurse, but, yeah, Brett Brown's been shaky a lot. The one that...
Shaky's a nice word. You're saying that to suck up to Ed, I think, because he knows he's going to listen to this program. Well, that shaky? Yeah, he's shaky, all right. I agree.
I was surprised that the line was low, and it's come up a little bit. So the Bucks are now minus $3 against the Celtics.
Yeah, we probably opened that one a little low.
$2.50, it's funny, right?
I think it was lower than that, actually. I think it was $2.20 or $2.40. But either way, I mean, we opened it a little bit too low. Yeah, we opened it 220. And we took some money on Milwaukee there. But I do think there's going to be some public support for Boston in the second round. And, you know, Boston getting a little bit of hype for their sweep of Indiana. But those games were pretty close. I know they won 4-0, so it sounds silly. But those games were pretty close. And Indiana was missing Victor Oladipo. Let's not pretend like Boston didn't just beat a team that was missing its best player.
I 100% agree. I even tweeted saying, like, everyone's, like, guys are picking the Celtics to go to the finals. I'm like, can we pump the brakes? They barely swept Indy. And, like, what have we seen that? And everyone's like, literally, of course, a bunch of Patriots fans but, and Celtics fans are
I've never heard the expression barely swept.
Right. So can I clarify? They were trailing in two of the four games in the fourth quarter.
Right.
The other one, they were up one in the fourth quarter. They trailed at halftime, I believe, in three of them. So my point is they should have advanced. They took care of business. Give them credit for that, all that good stuff. Like, you know, won the games they had to, whatever, made the shots. But, like, for all of a sudden to overreact, to react that they should all of a sudden, like, be in the finals because they swept the Pacers, where they were, like, live line underdogs in two of the four games in the second half. Like, what did I miss? Like, they didn't dismantle the Pacers like the Bucks did to the Pistons. So
no, and the Pacers have an all-star guard that didn't play in the series.
Right, but
I mean, people
really
need
they took care of business. But why are we all of a sudden catapulting them past the next two rounds? I just thought it was insane. And like, I get that Brad Stevens is awesome. I get that Hayward looks healthy. So that's, I guess, Hayward looking healthy was the one thing that sort of stood out that was beyond just taking care of business. Right, Hayward made big shots. They played well. Like, that would be like the one thing. But they're still going against a team that is much better than they are, has home court, and, you know, maybe they're a little bit low on the experience side. I'll concede that. Coach Buds has had issues in the playoffs in the past, despite dominating the regular season, so there's some concern there. But the reason the Celtics won one of those games is because the Pacers went ice cold and open shots. They were 0-for-9 in the third quarter of game two on wide open shots, which is classified by nobody within 6 feet. So is that Celtics playing great defense in the playoffs or the Pacers scrubs missing shots?
Well, the Pacers are a man down without right. their star player is what it ultimately comes down to, I think, more than anything. And I agree with you. And Milwaukee will have by far the best player on either team in this series. Giannis, I think, is the best player in the league at this moment.
Yeah, I mean, Kyrie and could outplay him a couple games.
Kyrie has the ability in stretches to be an absolute superstar. He also has the ability to shoot you right out of the game. We've yep. seen him do that as well. So Kyrie's a great player, great scorer, but I would never put him on the same level as Giannis.
Correct. I just thought, like, there's a difference between outplaying someone versus being better than that.
Sure.
I guess I was trying to give some benefit of the doubt there.
No, I think Kyrie, we've seen him do it before. He's such an incredible offensive player. He's probably the best ball handler in the history of the sport of basketball. He can get into a groove where he just goes wild. He could steal a game. He could steal a fourth quarter for the Celtics.
You don't think Bob Cousy dribbling around was better?
All those well, that's hard to say. You know, I don't remember the 60s that well. I don't know. Maybe him or Havlicek was a better ball handler than Kyrie or Pete Maravich.
What's that game one line, Bucks-Celtics? 6.5, I saw?
We actually bumped it up this morning, and I think we're at 7.5 now. We were last time I looked.
That would get me. I was excited at 6.5.
We just have a number, basically. The way that Jeff labeled it is game one, round two, whenever it's played. And we got the Bucks minus 7.5. Money line, Bucks minus 350.
Yeah, that feels about right. I really like the Bucks in that series.
And I can tell you that we don't do well if the Milwaukee Bucks win the Eastern Conference. Some enterprising individuals have some good future bets on Milwaukee to win the East. So I give those gentlemen credit. We do very well if Philadelphia wins the East. I'll tell you that much.
Shocking. Shocking that's the case.
Blame Mr. Salmons, our head NFL guy and our resident Sixers homer for that predicament.
Yeah, he pulled the trump card on those. All right, my man, though, that's going to cover it. I assume we're okay with the Warriors advancing. What do you make the Warriors? Oh, you already touched on that. We touched on that. I apologize. Portland and Denver. Denver would have home court. What would you make that series?
I mean, Denver certainly would be favored in that series. I don't know, probably like, well, if they were 220 against San Antonio and that got bet up, and Portland gets no respect in the numbers.
Right, but Portland's a higher seed than San Antonio. And Portland looked good, in theory, finishing it off in five games, while Denver would need at least six, maybe seven.
Maybe Denver, like, in the 250 range? Sound about right?
Sounds about right.
I'd have to look at it.
Maybe it might be $2, to be honest.
$2?
I don't think 250.
Yeah.
No, what am I talking about? $2 is the highest it would go. Probably 180,
I don't know.
170.
Portland just gets such little respect in the numbers.
They do now. I think they get over that hump, especially if they win in five and Denver limp into the finish line. I don't think it's higher than $2.
It was
$2 against the Spurs, right? And then it opened $2, so it's going to be like 170.
Well, no, it opened 220 and it got bet up.
Right.
By the time game one started, it was more like 270.
No, I know it got bet up. I know, but I'm just saying if it opened. Okay. I got you. All right.
I mean, we'll see. I don't disagree with you. $2 could be right. It's just, I don't know. Portland is just a team that's been so undervalued all year, and we already talked about it. They were a dog against Oklahoma City with home court advantage. They don't get respect in the numbers, but maybe if they do finish it off tonight, win 4-1, that will change, especially if San Antonio and Denver get dragged out to a game seven.
Right. That's sort of what I was thinking. The perception will change. I do like Portland tonight. They should get it done. Now the line's got up to 4, I feel better.
I hope that you're right.
It was like that Celtics line on Sunday, right? It opened 1, got bet to 3.5, 4 at some spots.
You know, I'm actually flying to Denver tomorrow morning, and I think I saw that a potential Game 7 of that series would be Saturday night in Denver, San Antonio-Denver. So I'd have to keep an eye on that. It could be a potential. I don't think I've ever been to an NBA Game 7, so that'd be kind of cool. Yeah, it is. Game 7 would be Saturday at the Pepsi Center.
Murray, just a mover and a shaker, a tycoon.
No, this isn't for work. I've been traveling a lot for work lately, but my brother's having his bachelor party in Denver.
Hey now.
We'll be out there this weekend. We're going to the Nationals-Rockies game tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon. And then we're going to – I don't know what we're going to do. I imagine drink a lot would be my guess.
Well, they call it Menver. I've heard that nickname.
Really? That's not a good nickname.
Right. So I've actually been to a bachelor party in Colorado. Went to a Rockies game with the Dodgers, and then we hit Aspen or Vail or one of those. And the other place, the other one had the weddings. Like, I got them all mixed up. But it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Wow, you got sister got married recently. Brothers.
Yeah, Jessica.
What about you, Mr. Director?
Oh, man, that's a good question. Still considering it. Seems like a big commitment, though.
It seems like. Kai, any advice for a bachelor party?
Kai,
what should he do for the bachelor party?
Oh, man, I could think of a couple things in Denver, but not over the Mouse's airwaves.
That's not a nickname for anything. Mouse meaning Disney, just for those.
I understand that. Okay. And we will I think we'll have to talk offline, Kai, if you have a chance.
For sure.
A lot of NBA talk. I was led to believe this was an NFL draft podcast. But
well, it did. It did.
I appreciate that it was about the NBA. I think it's great, but I know that people are very interested in the NFL draft, guys, and I'm sure that we'll be watching some of it on Thursday, me and my brother and his buddies.
Well, you've certainly earned the vacation, and good for you. Congrats to the little bro, and you guys will have a great time in Denver.
Good time. We'll have a good time if the Nationals win tomorrow. They've been struggling out the gate, to put it nicely.
Well, Murray, just don't forget your license or your passport at home like I did that one time.
Yeah, I do recall that. I forgot about that. No. It'll be a nice, quick trip. You know, McCarran's one of the best airports in the country.
Fact.
So, and when you have that TSA pre-check, you're good to go, man. You go right through.
What's the other one where you just do it with like, your thumbprint?
I think that's called Clear.
Correct. If you have that and pre-check, you're golden.
No, I don't have Clear. I got approached by somebody about signing up for a one time, and I kind of choked. I should have done it. I'm sticking with the pre-check for now, but maybe I'll consider getting Clear in the future.
I think we could do like an hour pod on finding the exact price you would pay for pre-check. Like whatever they charge, what was it like $85 for 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, I got the global entry too because I figured, what the hell, I'm already signing up for this thing, I might as well get both, and it was less than $200 for 5 years. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was clearly worth it. I mean, dude, I went out with Jay Cornegay and the Superbook USA guys last Tuesday night in New York City, and we had a flight out of JFK Wednesday morning back here to Vegas, and we were in rough shape. And if we hadn't had TSA pre-check, that would have been a long slog through the airport. I would pay what I paid for TSA pre-check just to avoid the line last Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, I joked once that I'd pay $85 per ticket. So I don't... Per round trip,
I don't know about that.
To cut security, it's worth okay. So that would be $42.50. Is it worth $20? It's worth $20. So the question is it worth $40? I would say
that's
yes.
Closer.
I would say
it might be.
So you know, $85 per ticket, and they charge it for 5 years.
I had a flight to California a few months ago. I forget why I was going there, but I didn't put in my pre-check number correctly, so I didn't get it on my boarding pass, and I had to go through the regular line. It was like the worst 20 minutes of my life, and I was just looking longingly over at the TSA pre-check line. It was awful, dude.
Way to connect with our audience.
I was so annoyed at myself. Like, I was so mad at myself the whole time. It ruined the trip, is what I'm trying to say.
I cannot be a bigger advocate of it. I encourage everyone. Oh, it's great. Worth the time. It's a little annoying. You got to go down to the airport or wherever, do the whole thing. Yeah. But, my Lord, it's amazing.
Well, one thing that's cool and good to remember, if you travel with an infant in some airports, they automatically just give you the pre-check. So,
really?
One to think about also.
So you're advocating for having a baby versus going down to the airport and signing up for it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
one's a lot easier than the other.
That's a good. I'm going to call that Plan B when my 5 years runs out here.
Pun intended.
Take it how you want.
Oh boy.
So I would just say I think not removing the shoes, not having to remove the shoes, is reason enough.
Yeah, that's true. That is nice.
I don't bend over well. I'm getting up there, you know, like.
Oh
the
yeah,
laces,
you're really getting up.
The laces.
Yeah.
It's an effort.
If you're not
you don't wear your Tony Romo slip-ons?
Exactly.
if you're not checking a bag and you have the pre-check thing, I mean, you can get to the airport like 30 minutes before your flight. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, especially in places like Hartford. You can be in and out real nice.
Yeah, I believe it. No, it's great. Although I am checking a bag tomorrow. I've got a few items I'm bringing for the boys in Denver.
Oh.
So I will need to get there. Yeah, I will need to get there a little on the early side.
No pictures. No pictures.
Yeah, yeah. Keep
checking a bag. That's rare for me, boys, but I'm making an exception this time.
Yeah. Are you bringing the baby this time? Or are you going to follow Kai's advice and bring a baby?
No baby. Just some party favors.
Not Carlos? Yeah. Carlos the baby?
No, I don't think so. I think I'll just stick with the baby. I'll stick with the pre-check thing.
Okay. All right. We're off the grid a little bit. That's okay. It's the end of the pod.
Just a tad. It's okay.
Safe travels, my man. Thanks for the insight.
Ed stopped listening after we I'm sorry, Doug. Ed stopped listening after we got through the NFL stuff anyway. So it doesn't matter if we go off the rails here at the end. He's not listening anymore.
That was our PSA for everyone to join TSA.
There you go.
All right, bud. Safe travels. Good talk, as always.
All right, fellas. Take care.
Okay, that does it for this podcast. Thanks to the, I guess, best man. Right? Murray's got to be he's the best man.
Yeah, I mean, he's bringing the party favor, so I hope so.
And that should be a good week. I did do a bachelor. That was fun. Dodgers won. Day game on a Thursday. Went to Aspen. Mountains. Rode bike. It was fun. It was all in good weather, too. Obviously, baseball season.
Awesome.
Kai, anything from your bachelor party you want to share?
Ooh, yeah. Okay. One thing that was really funny about my bachelor party. So we were in Philly. We were going to this club. I'll leave the club out of it. But we ran into this lady that took a picture of a group of guys, and her dog's name was Barkley, right? So that was funny or whatever. So we go and
in Philly, too, you know?
Yeah. So check this out. I forget the fight. It was about 2 years ago, so I forget. It was in June. I forgot who was fighting, but it was a heavyweight boxing match. We're all watching. And then all of a sudden, in the next VIP area in the booth, stands this tall guy, I swear, Charles Barkley was in there. Took a picture with us and everything. It was awesome. But Charles Barkley was in there, bunch of ladies with him. He was having a good time, man.
So who had the dog named Barkley?
It was some random lady outside, like down the block from the club. She had a dog named Barkley. And then lo and behold, an hour later, we get into this club and we see Charles Barkley in Philadelphia.
And Barkley was in VIP of a club.
He was, yeah. Oh yeah.
What kind of club? Okay. All right, my man. We'll leave it at that. This has been an interesting podcast.
That's a true story.
Good to have you back on the pod. Always fun to see you. I mean, I think people need to realize that we see each other all the time here on campus.
Right.
It was good to connect here on the pod. And thanks to everyone for their listening. Download, subscribe, rate, review.
There we go.
And go check out Daily Wager Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 Eastern on ESPN News and the ESPN app. And obviously, Ariel Helwani's podcast, Stanford Steve and the Bear, will resume theirs soon as well. But those guys are on the Daily Wager show as well, giving out some good picks. So thanks to everyone. Fun times. We're approaching the year anniversary of the legalization, or at least the federal ban, the Supreme Court ruling. So a lot of good times going on here in the sports betting space.
Thanks for listening to Behind the Bets. You can listen and subscribe on the ESPN app or download and listen on Apple Podcasts.